Good morning. Good morning. Excuse me. Allergies are fun. Well, guys, today is Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of what we as Christians might call Holy Week. This is a very important time, recognizing what happened today. Palm, if you're a guest or just maybe you're not that familiar, if you're a Christian, I hope you are because you're reading your Bible. But today we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And I think about how we call it the triumphal entry because here he was, the coming king. But yet he came in riding a donkey, and he was coming to do what? To be humbled, to humble himself, knowing he was going to be arrested and beaten and die. And I think of the example that Jesus set for us of how we as Christians, that should be our life, humility and giving of our life and serving and loving others. And we just came off a six-week series about losing our religion. And I think as we enter Easter week, how applicable that is about reminding ourselves what we're really about. Jesus, of course, came and Zechariah 9:9 says, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So relevant that Jesus came riding a donkey, because a donkey was an animal of peace, first of all. But really, I think because a king should have come riding a horse, right? This giant stallion, this horse was an animal of war. And here Jesus was coming to be the king of God's people, and he came riding a donkey. A donkey, which was very different. And I think if we look at Jesus, here he comes, he's coming, he's entering Jerusalem to do what he was on earth to do, lowly, riding a donkey. That should be kind of like a little bit of what our lives look like, guys. We should be very different. We should be humble. We should be servants. We should be different than what the world expects. There's a big one. We should be different than what the world expects. So today, we're going to talk about being humble and being lowly and being different than what the world expects. We people should look at our lives and how we love and how we live, and they should be like, they're weird. You know what else is weird? Washing someone else's feet. So if you're a guest today, we're going to talk about foot washing and what it means, because this is the week where we celebrate Jesus, of course, dying and rising again for us. And we this Thursday, we'll have a foot washing and communion service. You can come for the communion as well. So if you think Christians are weirdos, you're a guest here today, you're right. We're going to talk about washing each other's stinky feet. So, but for Christians, we recognize the importance of that. So important that if I could pick this week, whether you had been here today or you would come Thursday, I'd rather you come Thursday night at 6:30. Because we are going to and we'll talk in just a moment about how Jesus modeled foot washing for us. We're going to take communion together. We're going to pray for Easter. Next Sunday is Easter. It's incredible. In the last 2 years, I believe we've had about 425 and 480 here. Those were our last 2 years of Easter. We're shooting for 600 people this year, which is why we're doing three services. We've invited with postcards. We found ways to get invites out to the children in Hoopston, the Easter egg hunt this year. If you have neighbors, if you live in a house or apartment or trailer or anywhere and you have neighbors, and especially if they have kids, invite them to Easter. The kids are getting candy. We're giving away. There's going to be money in the eggs. There's going to be gift cards. Each of the three services, there'll be a tablet given away. We really just want to do whatever we can that people will bring their children to church on Easter. And then they'll come in and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They'll hear the Easter message. And I'm so excited about that. And I hope you've been fasting and praying. And I have been asking you to invite people to church. And Pastor Dan, being Pastor Dan, said, forget telling them to invite. We don't want them to invite people. We want them to bring people. I'm like, that's a great idea. I like that even better. But guys, today we're going to talk about, as we prepare for Easter, we're going to talk about the foot washing ordinance that Jesus put into place for us. Excuse me. Guys, it's a very humbling thing to wash someone's feet. It's a very putting off of self act. It's a very selfless act. And for some of us, and some of you here today, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you know, he commands you to do this. Now, again, it's not just about the act, but we'll get to that. But it's the fact that you are humble, you're a servant. You esteem others better than yourself. And guys, as members of a church, a body of Christ, it's a very cleansing thing. It's a very good thing. Because sometimes, I'm sure over the course of this past year, you've had a problem with me in some way, shape, or form. I said something dumb or did something. I'm sure maybe with one another. It's a very unifying act. And it's an act that most people, probably most of you here today, are like, this is weird. This is why I don't come to church very often. No, guys, this is something that models, it's a really good heart test of, are you a servant? Do you love your brother and sister in Christ? Do you care about the world? We're going to be having prayer for Easter corporately on Thursday night. We're going to be sharing in communion together. Because what the world needs to see is a church that loves and cares for one another. A church full of people that are different because they're so desperately searching for something real. And the only real thing in this world that will last is the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ and His love for us and when we're found in Him. And so it's going to be a wonderful evening. And guys, I think as you look around, even around the church, you can see people and you're like, yeah, and you kind of write them off. You look at someone and you think of the worst thing they ever did or how they made you mad or whatever it is. And aren't you thankful that the Lord doesn't look at us that way? And He modeled this foot washing as an act of love between the brethren in Jesus Christ. He tells us in 1 John, He tells us this. He tells us, beloved, love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So if you find yourself having disdain for people around you, especially your fellow brethren, because you know something or you've got an issue with them or they did something and you don't find yourself having a heart of grace towards them, you probably really need to come Thursday. You probably really need to pray about your heart. Jesus, right after He had modeled and put the institution of foot washing in place, in John 13:35, Jesus tells us this. He says, everyone will know that you're My disciples if you have love for one another. Over the last 6 weeks, we've talked about losing our religion. There's all these things we think that it means make us Christian. Christian is loving God. It is loving one another. It is following Jesus in humility, in service. It is living a life according to His Word. It's not religion. And guys, you know your very life is a spiritual battle. If your soul is saved, there's a battle of whether God can use you to help reach lost people. We've said this before, if you lost your cell phone today or your car keys, you'd be desperate to find them, wouldn't you? If you lost your purse, your wallet, why do we so naturally lose a desperation to see lost people saved? Why is that the human condition? Why do we just take it for granted? Why is it like, well, oh well, they'll come to church. Why are we not? I wonder if I asked you, as we have talked about over these last 5 or 6 weeks, to be fasting for Easter. How many of you have fasted or given up food or TV or caffeine or whatever it is? I don't want to know. It's between you and the Lord. But I wonder how many of us have. How important is it that the church be the church and reach lost people? I think so often, guys, it's so easy for us, it's our human nature, to take the spiritual battle for granted. We show up to church and flip-flops and drinking our diet soda or coffee, and those are all great things, but, you know, how have you prepared yourself to come into worship? Are you prepared to offer Him your voice, your heart, your tithe? Have you, through the week, have you been praying for the church? Have you been inviting people to church? Have we lost a little bit where when the pastor puts a real good guilt trip on you, from God's Word and out of love about, please come Thursday, how many of you have already thought, I'm not coming? Have we lost a little bit of our love? Guys, I believe Easter is going to be powerful this year. I believe we're going to see souls saved. I believe we're going to see lives changed. I believe that we play a part in this. It is God who saves by grace. It is the Holy Spirit who convicts and calls. But I believe that our prayers and our fasting and our unity have an effect. I believe God's Word is very clear in that. If where our world is today doesn't grieve you, I'm sorry, because it should. This is a war that we're in. This is an eternal thing. Unlike everything in this world that keeps us from Christ, that keeps you from serving, that'll keep you from coming on Thursday, that keeps you from church on Sunday, all these things that keep you, those will all pass away. But he who does God's will live forever. In glory. And I want you guys to be living this victorious, full, abundant life in Christ. I truly want that for you. And so I want you to be a part. I know how important it is. But guys, we have to be connected for this to be happening. And I think we've lost some of that. And I want you to know that you need to humble yourself. And you need to come and be part of such things. And we'll talk in just a moment why it's really even more important than Sunday. And I'll make a point about that. But church, if we want to rise up, if we want to see Jesus exalted, if we want to see revival and people come to belief in him, the model, not the act, the model of foot washing is the way. It's laying down the stuff and all the reasons why, and all the excuses we have, and all the different things. And again, it's not about the feet, because the feet are gross. Women, this is a great excuse for you to get a pedi this week, though. You tell your husband, that's right, hey, I got to go Thursday, so I need to get a pedi this week, dear, so my feet can look good. You're welcome, guys. But I want you to think about the model of what our lives, if you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus, what you should your life should look like. Humility and loving and serving and laying down your life and esteeming others better than yourself. Think about God in the flesh. Jesus, the Messiah, the Alpha, the Omega, who was and is to come, the creator of the universe, washing feet. And 2,000 years ago, all the roads were dirt, so feet were gross. They still are. They were worse back then. The model of love and humility of the Savior of mankind doing that. Doing that. I believe if we as a church are to accomplish our purpose, we've got to love better and we need to be more unified and connected. If you want revival and abundance and joy and fullness and for you and your generations to prosper, you guys know you've got to have a life that's surrendered to Jesus and to be serious about the church as plan A. The church is God's plan A. If God had a different way to a vessel for which souls could be saved, a vessel for which a way for which we could love and serve and come together as His people and worship Him. You know, this day and age, everybody just says, I watch a program on Sunday morning, and that's my church. Well, that's not your church, that's you. That's being isolated. Are you inviting people to your living room to watch the program with you? Are people getting saved and baptized there? Are you worshiping there? Are you giving money to yourself? How does that work? We need to be connected, and we have a purpose, and it's a glorious, wonderful, wonderful purpose. But guys, we also have to understand that so much pulls at us to keep us away from being connected to the vine. It's also just our human nature. Many of you here today have been saved and delivered, and wonderful things have went on, but just like the children of Israel, it's our human nature. God did miracles. He delivered them from slavery. The Red Sea was parted. And they found ways to complain and to wander, didn't they? That's our natural human condition, is to wander away from God. It really is. And guys, I believe without the church, and God's word is clear in this, without being part of the church and connected, you can't get to your promised land. God has a perfect plan and purpose for your life, and that involves serving. What is the most essential thing of being a follower of Jesus? Is what did He do? He served. He gave His life. And that's something that we're called to be doing, and the church is the method and the means through which we do that. Think about when the children of Israel were fighting their battles. You guys remember the story where Moses, as long as he held his arms up, they were winning the war. But when he put his hands down, they began to lose the war. I and you as brothers and sisters, we need each other. And I need you to accomplish our purpose. We need to come together to take communion, to pray, to serve one another, to model this. To show the world we're different. We need each other. Think about reaching Hoopston. Think about the revival, the change we want to make here as we prepare to open our youth center. It's going to take unity and togetherness and hard work and humility and resources. Guys, think about trying to serve the youth. Have you ever worked with kids? They're smart aleck. They know it all. They're snot-nosed and they just always have something to say. That's just my kids. But also, no joke, you know, here in Hoopston, so many of them, home is rough. And it's tough. And it's going to take us having unity. It's going to take us staying on point of working together to make the change and to be what God has called us to be. And think about Easter. It's a great example of this. I care. Next Sunday, I want people to come. I want them to get saved. I want them to hear powerful testimonies and hear the gospel. That's right. So then please come Thursday and let's pray for that. Let's take communion together. Let's serve one another. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 13. We're going to read a few verses. Starting in verse 1, and we'll skip a little bit. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And to go forward to verse 4, it says, he rose from supper, he laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel he was wearing. Then he said to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing now, you don't understand, but you'll know after this. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter then said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed only needs to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you, for he, of course, was referring to Judas and saying, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, here's what he said to them. He said, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. John 13:15, Jesus said, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Jesus gave an example of putting God first, of stepping down from heaven out of his comfort zone, of serving and sacrificing and loving the unlovable. And we at one point were unlovable. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So guys, if you're really sick or if you're working or whatever it is, that's fine. But if not, I'm asking you to come Thursday so we can pray together and have communion. And if you're not comfortable with foot washing, you can just observe. That's fine. But we're praying that next Sunday incredible things happen here, because incredible things need to happen in Hoopston, Illinois. People need to come and hear the message of Jesus Christ and respond to it. They need to have their kids come to church for the first time, and they think they're coming because great prizes are being given away. And all of a sudden, the kid loves coming and won't let mom and dad or mom or dad miss a Sunday. And all of a sudden, the church grows and the kingdom grows. That's what I want to have happen next Sunday. And so Thursday is important for that for you and I, but here's another great reason why it is. And this is hard to say, but this is true. Because you as a Christian, me as a Christian, you know when the easiest time to fake where our heart is, to fake where our heart is with Jesus Christ? Sunday morning. Because it's busy and it's crowded and I can smile real well and say, how you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? I'm great. Sunday is easy to fake. Thursday night, not so much. Because we're going to be humbling ourselves and serving one another. And men, we might even hug. And women will cry. And we'll be talking and praying and taking communion together. And it's a heart test. Last year we had about 60 or 70 of us here on foot washing. We've got to do better than that this Thursday. Foot washing is symbolic. It's powerful. It's a sign of our togetherness in Jesus Christ. Another great thing about it that's important, and please hear me on this, we've just done 6 weeks about losing our religion. This is not about religion. This is not a man-made thing or an ordinance. Jesus tells us right here, he says this. He says in 13:15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Blessed are you if you do these things. There's no religion in this. Foot washing is an institution that on the evening before he died, Jesus installed this institution for the New Testament church. And it's twofold. It's an act of service and humility, and it's also a cleansing. And so since this is something Jesus said we should do, and this isn't man-made or religion, do you know how important it is that we begin to instill this culture into our children and our next generations? It's crucial that we say, Jesus did this and modeled this and told us to do it, and here's why we do it. Because when you're 8 or 10 or 12 year old, you're on your way out here, or when you're going back home, that was kind of weird. Why did we do that? You've got to teach them and tell them. The Bible says, teach these things to your children. If you don't think we're losing this in our society, you're wrong. in us, followers of Jesus. Let's instill these things in our kids. Let's make them a priority. The Bible says we're to lay down our lives for one another. Guys, we are in this together. And I know that God has great things coming. Sunday is Easter. We have our facility and our trust me, hard at work towards our youth center. And so the only response I asked from you from today's sermon and today's message is that you would come Thursday evening. Because I believe a lot of what happens next Sunday will be dependent upon how we come together Thursday to serve one another, to remember what Jesus did, and to pray together as well. Foot washing is a cleansing. Some of us here today, your attitude, your heart needs to be cleansed of sinful thoughts, of sinful attitudes, of things that just creep in and happen in life. I think, Dan, we're going to close in just a second. Guys, I think and I know how quickly we forget God's grace. How quickly we forget what we've been forgiven from and how much we've been forgiven and how patient and loving and kind and merciful God has been with us. And I think unless we're purposeful in recognizing that and in humbling ourselves with such acts as washing each other's feet, that over time we harden, we get hardened. We take God's grace for granted. We lose sight. We lose a hunger and a thirst and just a heartfelt desire for lost people to be saved. I'm going to overshare, as I usually do. But this week I shared with my wife, I said, how my heart aches on a consistent basis. And this week I was just broken. For the church to experience what we experienced here three, four, 5 years ago. Of 30 people getting baptized on one Sunday. Of people coming to Christ right and left. Some of you are among those. Of just incredible movements of God and of His Holy Spirit. And she asked me a question. She said, let me ask you, would you be content if you never experienced anything like that ever again? And I said, I would quit tomorrow. What are we doing here? If not to go into our world and make disciples and to see lost people saved and to love each other and to be the church. That's what we're here for. That's why something like Thursday is so important, that we remind ourselves, that we remember Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, His amazing grace, that we recognize the night before He was crucified and went to that cross for you and I, and we prepare for Easter when He was raised again, to bring us new life, to bring us forgiveness, to bring us salvation, the humility that He had, the love that He had for all, and how we need to remind ourselves that that's how we're supposed to be with one another. Would you stand with me today and let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we sing today, Lord, I pray You would work on our hearts. Lord, we love You so much. And I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, You would prepare us and, Lord, prepare for a harvest here next Sunday. We can't do anything without You. We beg You for Your Spirit to come and move and for people to come. Lord, I pray that we would come together Thursday for a powerful time. That just as You set the example, we would follow it. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.